The Braingasm Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. To get a free 30-day trial and one free audiobook of your choosing, go to www.audibletrial.com/braingasm or click the link on braingasmpodcast.com. Help us help them help you. The rare win-win-win. Hey, Cheska, do you ever buy anything on Amazon?
Well, yes, Ben, I do.
Did you know that you can go to braingasmpodcast.com right now, click the banner ad for Amazon, and everything you buy, we get a kickback from?
Really? What was that URL again?
That's braingasmpodcast.com. Click the banner ad at the top, go to Amazon, and everything you buy helps support the Braingasm Podcast. And the best thing is, it doesn't cost you a dime. Warning. The word of the day is ballpoint. Shit, that's two words.
The Braingasm Podcast.
Yes.
And welcome to the Braingasm Podcast episode
145.
Apparently.
It is.
Oh, I've got to turn my my recording down because I have just adjusted my MIDI level and I am off the goddamn charts. Believe it or not, when you come in and you're just like, what? The computer just looks at me like, dude, not cool, man.
Nope.
Not cool. Let me just quickly adjust that. Welcome to the Braingasm Podcast, everybody. Episode 145, the 145th episode.
Oh, we're five away from 150.
Yep. 1 second here.
Yep.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have a good time tonight. We are going to talk about...
So much stuff.
So many stuff and things.
So much stuff and things.
Mostly things
Rory.
And stuff. Lots of stuff, actually.
Lots of stuff.
Turns out a surprising amount of stuff.
So much stuff, but we also have a lot of things.
I'll say this about the stuff. I mean, I know I'm kind of coming off as a bit of a stuff queen right now. Like, I'm a little bit all on the stuff. But. It's pretty nice stuff.
It is pretty nice stuff and things.
The things are good. I mean, you love those things.
You keep
coming in with those things.
Well, you can't forget the things.
I mean, I guess. I feel like the things just pale in comparison to how great the stuff is.
We'll see. We'll see about
this. This is one of the silliest openings I think we've ever had. And I'm looking forward because I'm already writing the episode description in my head. They began, as they do every week, by talking about stuff and things.
Lori.
Yes, welcome to Gasm of Gasms.
Gasm of Gasms.
Which is our offshoot of Gasm of Thrones, the wildly successful Gasm of Thrones. It's Gasm of Thrones did so well that we decided to spin it off into an entirely different podcast in which it's me and you talking about nothing like related to Game of Thrones at all. So we decided to call it Gasm of Gasms because it's a play on the original name. Isn't that fucking great?
I love it. Gasm of Gasms just rolls off the tongue.
I know, it's great. You know, it's like that show they do, like the pre-show for Talking Dead. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Oh, man, it's on the tip of my tongue.
It's like something dead, like Strolling Dead or something. You know, like
dead.
The pre-show for Talking Dead.
And then
Meandering
they
did the pre-show dead. For Talking Bad, which is so funny because they did the pre-show for Talking Bad like 4 years before.
God damn.
Just such a weird idea, though,
That's
right?
Weird. I don't know.
It's cosmic. It's a cosmic idea.
Cosmic idea.
Cosmic. Billions and billions.
Then why didn't we do that sooner?
Obviously, this is Braingasm. I was about to say, this is Gasm of Thrones. This is Braingasm in our brand new fancy time slot.
Yep.
We cannibalized our own show.
We did.
We took over Gasm of Thrones. It turns out, because the plan was to keep Gasm of Thrones going the whole summer, but Braingasm just came in and was like, nope.
Taking it back.
Nope. We're taking it back. So Braingasm will continue in the Tuesday time slot from here until we change it again.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we do this like every 4 months.
Yeah, well, because like our schedules keep changing, so.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to remember. I wonder what the longest we've ever stayed on a day with. We were on Sunday for a long time.
We were on Sunday for a long time. And that because I think that was like the only day that all of us could sit down and record together. And then it gradually changed like every... I want to say like 5 months when school was in session for the both of us.
Yeah. I remember Thursday was a big day for us too.
Thursday was big.
Thursday was our last day. That was the day before.
We did Wednesdays.
That was our day before Tuesday.
We did Wednesdays also because we both had Wednesdays off.
Right, we did Wednesday. God, was there a day we haven't done?
We haven't done Mondays.
We haven't done Mondays yet.
We haven't done Mondays
yet. Don't count it out. We did Saturday. We just did Friday in the interim. Friday was our latest. I mean, Friday was kind of a throwaway day. It was literally just – it was the only day we could find almost every single week to do anything.
Yeah.
So I don't even consider that part of the Braingasm pantheon in terms of days.
Yeah, but it's still like we recorded on a lot of Fridays.
We did record on quite a few Fridays. That was the thing that happened. We were just as lame as that sounds. We have zero lives, but we bring you amazing content. So I feel like it all averages out. We're actually recording this on Canada Day. Today
is
Canada
Day. Oh, that's right. Happy Canada Day.
Thank you. It's the we celebrate our independence 3 days before you celebrate your independence.
That's right. You do.
Because just like in everything else, Canada comes first.
Well, it was. Last year I went to a Canada Day party. And it was actually really good.
I actually worked today.
You worked today? And isn't it like a national holiday for you?
It is. It's a stat holiday, but I worked anyway.
Oh.
Because I'm a workaholic. And I might not be working Friday, so I might not be working on the 4th of July.
Well, that's good.
So, yeah, I'm all USA. Well, I was all USA until goddamn what happened today.
Oh, with the, what's it called? The World Cup. I'm not even paying attention to that.
Yeah, USA got eliminated today.
What, by Belgium, I think?
Yeah, it was Belgium.
Yeah.
I'm not even a soccer fan. I've rebelled against the sport on several separate occasions. My mom's a huge soccer fan.
I am not into soccer at all.
I don't get it. I don't like it. I mean, I've watched it a few times. There's been a few times when I've watched it with her that I've been like, oh, this is exciting. But it's like very few times. Usually it's just like – there's a joke on The Simpsons that I think is just so brilliant when the World Cup is in Springfield. And they have the different announcers. You see Kent Brockman. He's announcing and he's like – and he kicks it to him. Who kicks it to him? And then you see like the Spanish announcer's like, who kicks it to him? And I was like, he kicks it to him. Who kicks it to him? Who kicks it to him?
Yeah.
Holds it.
He's still holding.
Holds it. And you see the Spanish announcer. He kicks it to him. Who kicks it to him? Who kicks it to him? Holds it.
Oh my God. Holy shit.
It's fucking brilliant. It's so true though.
It is
like, yeah,
true.
That's the difference. But yeah, America got eliminated today, and I was actually pulling for the Americans. I was pulling for your countrymen.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are Canada's chair.
Ah, America's yeah, Canada's chair is exactly what you are. I was about to say America's hat, and I'm like, well, wait, no, you did the opposite.
Well, no, Canada is America's hat, but right now we are Canada's chair. It is Canada Day. I'll submit to that.
But I wanted the U.S. to win for one particular reason. And that is because I felt like if the U.S. won the World Cup, the rest of the world would lose their fucking minds.
Oh, my God.
The amount of, like, anger that would result in. Like, that's the thing. You got to realize, like, people – if the Americans had won the World Cup, people would have rioted. It would have been, like, riots in the street. They would have been so much angst and anger created and, like, bitter and resentment. It would have been spectacular.
No, I went to the gym tonight and there was a group of people like crowded around the TV, like the big TV, and they were just watching the World Cup. I'm like, are you serious? Like no one in America is this interested in soccer. Like seriously.
See, that's bullshit though. And I call foul on that for one reason.
Why?
My reason for this is that, you know, it's a fundamental – maybe you don't understand it because you live there, but we see it because we're right next to you guys. So we see you for how you are. And that's the fundamental misunderstanding about the Americans that people don't have,
mm-hmm.
is that Americans are into anything that they're good at. Like you could tell the Americans – like you could say, oh, hey, this sport that they don't care about. You know, anything – they'll make fun of it forever. But this is stupid. Dumbest sport ever. Stupidest sport. Who cares about this? Who gives a shit? But the minute you're like, oh, America might be the best in the world, they're like, oh, my God, best sport ever. And the flags come out.
Yeah, no,
just,
they get really wicked patriotic. It's like what, the Italian-Americans, like, or the kids who are, like, American with Italian descent. Like, they get all hyped up. It's like, oh, Italy playing in the World Cup. Got to get out my Italian jersey. And it's like, I can't. I don't know. Like, it's like, okay, for more than the whole year, no one ever talks about soccer.
World Cup only comes around 4 years.
No, and I understand that, but I'm just saying, like, any other day of the year, any other year in those 4 years, no one's talking about soccer here. At least no one that I know, no one I'm close to, no one in, like, the greater Dutchess area. that I know, it's like, it's kind of weird. Like, all of a sudden, like, people that you would never think of on Facebook posting shit about the World Cup. I'm like, I didn't know you were that into this.
Well, they're not. That's the thing. But, like, in the weird, it's funny that you're coming from an American perspective that's where, like, oh, it's so weird that they're into it. See, because everyone else in the world just looks at you, looks at us and goes, it's so weird that you're not into this. Like,
well, maybe because it's such a big sport everywhere else. That's why.
Yeah, and it's the biggest sport in the entire world by a staggering margin, and it's so funny that, like, the only time that Americans care about anything related to soccer is the World Cup, and it's the only time that the rest of the world even, like, you know, even I wasn't say doesn't care. It's like what Americans experience during the World Cup is what everyone experiences all the time everywhere else. But yeah, it's I don't know. I'm now that the U.S. is out, I'm no longer interested.
I don't think any of the U.S. is interested now.
I feel like they weren't even interested. And then all of a sudden the U.S. started winning. And then I was like, oh, we're interested now.
You know, they got, like, wicked into it. It was like, oh, man, we're doing really well. We should probably support our country. And now it's like, fuck it.
Yeah. Now people are just depressed because they're not going to win a sport they didn't even have a chance of getting close to winning. That's
exactly
the thing. Like, they made it way farther than anybody thought they would. And now it's just like, oh, my God, I'm so disappointed. Angst, 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 angst. Because, you know, they're just sitting there going, like, man, you made me care. It's like, they're just like, fuck you. You made me care about this only to take it away.
Oh, it sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. But, yeah, so we've had we're back in Brangasm Town. We're doing this thing.
Yay.
The World Cup is now over as far as America.
Well, as far as we're concerned, it's over.
It is weird that, like, yeah, in Canada it's the same thing where, like, you see all the flags all over the place.
Really?
The little mini car flags.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out who started that, because I feel like there was a year when that didn't happen, and then all of a sudden it started happening. Now it's just a meme. Now it's almost like a parody of itself at this point.
It might be.
What I've never understood is the people who have two flags of the same country, where it's like one on either side of the window, just like... You got the one side, like, oh, it's one side, it's the country. Other side, same exact country flag.
Oh, God, yeah. No, you see them everywhere.
Yeah, I've always thought that was incredibly stupid. I'm not even a fan of soccer, but I've always thought I could make a mint off of selling a flag that says actual soccer fan.
I'm not a big soccer fan, like, at all.
You don't think that would sell?
No, I don't know.
Actual soccer fan flag. Just be like, hey, all you posers, I'm an actual soccer fan.
Oh, it's
fan.
Like being, like, a fake geek girl, basically.
No, because this is legit, where it's like you got a bunch of people pretending to enjoy this.
Yeah.
But in reality, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, I can see it.
I don't care. Anybody can enjoy whatever they want. I just think I'd make $1 million off
you
of
would.
That.
You probably would.
You'll never lose money betting on, like, the hipster cred.
Or, like, the novelty shit. No, you'll never lose.
That's what I was talking to somebody. They were, they said, oh, I got this, like, they were talking about fart memorabilia. We looked up, like, oh, the fart shop. I was hanging out with a bunch of people, and they were talking about farts and, like, just fart memorabilia.
Oh.
And, like, I wonder if there's a fart shop. So we looked it up, and of course there is. It's called Fart Mart, which is how you don't
fart
think of
Mart.
That
oh
name
my God.
Immediately. Like, when we were talking about it, I'm like, when I pulled up Fart Mart, I'm just like, how did we not come to this? Like, that's the best name ever.
That is the best name for, like, a store that sells, like, fart memorabilia. Fart Mart. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. You should go to Fart Mart.
I'm going to go to Fart Mart.
Fartmart.com. I don't mind plugging Fartmart.com.
Fart Mart.
But, no, it's funny because we were talking about it. They were saying, like, oh, man, I got this fart thing, this fart t-shirt or whatever. And I can't remember where I got it from. And then I'm just like, Spencer's? I was like, yeah, I think it was Spencer's. And I'm just like, of course it was Spencer's.
Oh, my
God. Where else would you get anything like that from?
The music on this website is just weird.
There's music on the website?
Yeah, it's like this weird tuba sounds with, like, fart noises happening in rhythm.
Uncle Ruckus with farts?
Yes.
Speaking of which, did you watch the end of – did you watch the new season of Boondocks?
No, because I heard it was terrible.
It's bleak. It ended this week. Oh, God. It was like a groin punch.
Oh, my God. You know, I heard it was, like, kind of bad. So I'm like, like, I liked the Boondocks, but then again, like, it wasn't something I really, like, was into or, like, invested in to watch. Like, I enjoyed it. It just wasn't one of my favorite shows, so I didn't really give a shit. But then, like, when everybody was talking about it, it's like, oh, like, this season, like, really sucks and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how bad could this actually be?
Turns out really bad.
I heard that it, like, it's already on DVD.
Oh, yeah, no, it's already out on DVD. Like, they didn't waste any time. It was literally,
wow.
Like, I don't even think the season had ended by the time it was out on DVD.
Holy shit.
Yeah, they're just trying to get in and get out.
Yeah.
Which is kind of disappointing, like, because it was a good show, but, like, it really did feel like that show that was, like, that only had a few real notes to play.
Yeah.
That's the problem I had with this season was it was just so repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only time it was worse was when it wasn't repeating itself and it was doing something even worse than that.
Mm.
So it's kind of a weird damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Thing. I'm trying to even remember an episode I actually liked.
It's hard, right?
It is a little bit. It's very... It's a weird thing. It's like Huey, who's the main character,
mm-hmm.
was barely in this season at all.
Really? Like,
at all.
That kind of sucks.
The main character was Robert. The granddad was in every... I think every episode was pretty much a Robert or a Ruckus episode.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and they ruin Uncle Ruckus.
Oh, how can they ruin Uncle Ruckus?
Because Uncle Ruckus is a character that... It turns out Uncle Ruckus is a dish best served in moderation.
God damn it.
Yeah, and it was just like the kind of thing they used it way. They, you know, you can't overplay that character. You can't use that. That character has to come in and like be just there for comic relief.
Yeah,
but like you can't use them all the time.
No, it's like in an episode like where like who? It's one of the guys. He gets possessed, and like they bring like Uncle Ruckus in basically to like drive the demon out of him. And that was like that was perfect. That's like the perfect time to pull in that character. Because, like, it's so outrageous for, it's like, such an outrageous character to be in that situation, too. Like, it just makes it funnier.
Yeah, no, it definitely, it's even sad, like, to even talk about it, like, in terms of, like, the rest of, but it's funny, too, because you look at it and you're like, it's kind of a progression, though, because a lot of shows do this, like, you watch these shows and they come out of the gate and they're so brilliant and, like, they've got so many great ideas, but, like, people don't realize this about television, especially in the U.S., like.
Yeah.
There's a finite amount of... Sometimes a premise just has a finite amount of stories in it. You know, like, there's just a finite amount of jokes that can be had before it just gets really, really stale.
Oh.
And I'm trying to... I don't know if you ever watched the show. You ever watched the show Little Britain?
Yeah, I love that show, actually.
Little Britain, that first season, is one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen in my entire life. Just... Like front to back, one of the you can watch that season. That season is just amazing.
I could watch that show over and over again.
But as it went on,
yeah.
Oh my god!
Didn't it get worse?
It got bad.
Yeah.
And like they start repeating themselves. Like, I find Key and Peele is almost doing that a little too. Like,
yeah, like I like Key and Peele a lot, and then like some of the episodes like just get kind of repetitive.
I think they've done three of the college football draft
sketches.
And that was funny the first time.
Yeah, the first time it's funny, and then the second time it's like, oh man, they're doing another one. And then when you get to the third, it's like, so we're doing this one again?
Actually, they did have a funny thing in the third one, which is that they had the rap music video, and all the guys were really bad at it, and then they had the white guy. And then the white guy just fucking just drops the mic, just like kills it.
My God.
And so that was kind of the joke there. It was just like, no one, they just like, oh, and then this guy. And then it's just like, he's like Eminem all of a sudden. That was kind of funny.
That's kind of funny, yeah.
Do you watch Fargo?
No, I've seen the movie a bunch of times. I don't know. I wanted to watch it. I just never caught it.
Oh, the show's really good. It's very good.
Isn't the guy who played John Watson from Sherlock actually...
Yep, Martin Freeman?
Yeah, he's in it.
He's the main character.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I knew that he was in it, and I was kind of interested in seeing how he did.
Oh, yeah, the cast is really great. Like, the cast is like, it's got Martin Freeman plays one of the main guys.
Yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton plays the main antagonist, the main villain character.
Uh-huh. Like, now, is it, like, closely based to the movie, or is it, like, a prequel to the movie, or...?
It's a kind of a parallel to the movie. I think it's a sequel-ish to the movie.
Okay.
The only thing... Okay, so what I'll say is, and it's kind of a spoiler, but it's not really, is that the briefcase full of money from the movie makes an appearance. And it's kind of central to the plot of the show.
Oh, Jesus.
In one, not a central plot to the part of the show, but like it's featured heavily in it, and that's the only thing that's like tying them together.
Okay.
Because the show takes place in Minnesota. It doesn't even take place in North Dakota.
Yeah.
There's reference to the Fargo, like the Fargo Mafia is actually in there.
Mm-hmm.
The gang, the crime syndicate, but yeah, no, it's really good though. I think you'd really enjoy it, especially if you like the movie.
Yeah, the movie was good. Like I enjoyed it. It's one of those where like you watch it every few months, because if you watch it too close together, it's like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you should watch the show. Bob Odenkirk is also in it. He's fucking
really
fantastic.
Yeah. You know, I'll have to see if it's still on demand, and I'll figure it out. Yeah.
Colin Hanks is one of the main characters.
Huh.
He's really good as well.
It sounds like it's really good. I will have to see if, because I have some time, on my hands, so I could probably like check it out maybe tomorrow.
It's only like like 10 episodes. It's like really? True Detective. It's only like 10 episodes, like an hour long-ish.
Uh-huh.
It's great, though.
Okay. That's not bad.
You should absolutely watch it.
All right.
you were telling me before about your this podcast you were listening to.
Okay, so let me preface this by saying that I have had a long time love affair with stationery and stationery products.
Okay, so like that sounds like Hank Hill with propane and propane accessories.
Exactly, but I recently bought myself a very fancy Filofax system that
So what the hell is? Okay, I'm going to start off. I'm going to be the voice of the common people, which is easy because I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Okay.
Go on. What's a Filofax?
Okay, so a Filofax is it's a day planner basically. So, but it's one of the more like professional looking day planner agendas where you could either it's fully customizable. You could do page inserts however you want. So, like I keep a week on two pages so I could see what's going on within everything. Hold on 1 minute. Let me just put you on mute for a minute. So, like, fully customizable. Like, I keep my week on two pages so I could see, like, my whole week at one glance. I tried having, like, a week on one page, but it didn't leave me a lot of room to, like, write down appointments or, like, schedule things that I needed to. And I'm also, like, really weird where I like to decorate my pages, but that's another thing.
So what kind of decorations are we talking about?
I do, like, washi tape and stickers and, like, stamps and shit. Like, I post a lot of it on my Instagram, and everyone's like, what the fuck is this? But, that also led me to try to find, like, the perfect pen to use in my Filofax, like, my everyday pens. Like, I – shut up. You shut your whore mouth. You're laughing at me. Why?
I'm not laughing at you. I swear to God, I'm trying so hard not to laugh.
Oh, my God. You're so mean to me.
It's just – you're so into this. It's just like –
oh my God.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You are. You're terrible. Anyway, so yeah, like I tried like, you know, the Uniballer like gel pens, but because I'm left-handed, a lot of the times the ink gets smudged. So that was out. I tried like the Papermate Ink Joys, and they're really nice like ballpoint pens, and they come in a lot of colors. I just have no need to like color code everything. Like I use some color coding, but not a lot. And then I started listening to the Pen Addict podcast.
Like, is it actual? Yeah. So you, this is where I come into this. You were telling me about this.
Yeah. So like, I was telling Ben that like I'm like, oh man, I listened to this really awesome podcast. It's all about like two guys recommending different pens and reviewing them, and it's great.
The entire park. This is what I love about the
they
internet.
Have like 150 something episodes. I think it's hold on.
They
let me
have
check.
More episodes than we do.
Yeah, they do. They're up to wait. Hold on. No, I'm sorry. We have more episodes than them. They have 113 episodes.
Take that. We got to get you as a guest on this show.
No.
I think we need to – I'm gonna message them up and be like, look, my co-host – we do a podcast. My co-host is a huge fan. You need to get her on your show.
So, like, the show –
I'm not kidding. I'm going to do this, by the way.
No, don't. The show is all about just, like, you know, like it says, like, you know, analog tools are often pushed aside in the digital age.
What's it called, by the way? We should give them a plug. Let's spread them around.
Okay. Well, like, you know, there are two hosts. There's Brad Dowdy and Mike Hurley. And Brad Dowdy actually works for Jet Pens, and they like have like one of the biggest supplies of pens online. And I actually, after listening to one of their podcasts, I think hold on, I have it marked off to which one it was because it was like, holy shit, like I need to talk about this. Let me find
it. Okay, so I just went on their website.
Yeah.
And the first line says, "I didn't go to this year's Atlanta Pen Show."
But
so there's a pen convention.
Yeah, like apparently there's like a big community about like just a pen culture, I guess. I don't know what it's called, but like it was episode 6. It's called The Multi-Pen Multitasking. And he goes on about, hold on, I'm going to pull out my pen that I ordered. It's a Pilot Hi-Tech C Coletto 3. And it's fully customizable where you can pick out the barrel that you want and you pick three different insertable nibs. Like of three different colors at the 0.5 millimeter thickness, and the thing writes like a fucking dream. I'm like, holy shit, this is the best pen that I've ever owned, especially for like a multi pen. Like, you know, like the ones where they come with like the four or five different colors.
I hate those. I think
and
those
you
are
click
tacky
them, and they kind of shit. Like they're really shitty.
They're terrible.
Ones. But this one, like I think it's a gel pen. It's not a ballpoint pen. So I was really impressed with like how smooth it writes. And the best part is it doesn't smudge. Like, I'm left-handed. I smudge everything, pencil and pen, but this, it doesn't smudge at all. So I'm thoroughly impressed. So I have to say, like, big shout-out for them to, like, recommend such a very, very good pen.
I was so utterly fascinated when you were telling me about this. Just, like, because I'm sitting there listening to you talk about it. I'm looking at these episodes are, like, an hour long.
No, some of them are, like, half hour long at first. Like, a lot of them, like, start for 33 minutes, and then they start increasing in time. Some of them are, like, an hour, but they usually range between, like, a half hour. But now that I'm looking, they're all, like, an hour and two, an hour 40, you know, like, or,
there's
like,
one that's an hour and a half long, and they're talking about pens.
I'll listen to a lot of it, but, like, if there are certain points, like, where they're, like, you know, just, like, shooting the shit sometimes, like, I'll skip around to find a part that I really want to listen to. But, like, I had this on just, like, while I was cleaning the house one day, and, like, I got through, like, maybe, like, I want to say, like, 10 episodes. No, I got up to, like, episode 15. While I was doing stuff, and it honestly, it's very interesting. Like, if you're a lover of stationery, like I am, like I love stationery, like pencil cases, Filofaxes, like just pens, paper. Like I love it, especially like the artist in me.
Yeah,
you're working with so many different tools. Like it's honestly a very informative podcast, and I think it's worth a listen.
See, I will admit to a little bit of pen snobbery.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a little bit of that in me, especially at work.
Oh yeah.
I'm the kind of dude, I will not accept a shitty pen when I'm working at my job.
I'm
want
the same
a good
way.
Pen. I like nice pens. I think the nice pens are a thing, but I would never go as far as to be like, I need to research this. Like that's just fat. I'm not, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm being a dick or I'm making fun of these people. I'm really not. I'm I'm more fascinated than anything else. It's just like I love it whenever anyone's so into something that I'm not into. I just find it utterly fascinating.
Like I was skeptical at first about it. I'm like, oh, a podcast about pens? Like how interesting can this be? And then like when I actually sat down to listen to it, I'm like, holy shit, I need to go on this website right now. I need to look at these pens that they're talking about. And the guy, like Brad, he runs a blog actually, and he'll review pens. Like he'll have like a whole page that he scans in just using that one pen. He writes a very detailed description of like how it writes, like what the pros and cons are. And it helped me pick out like probably the pen that I wanted to get, and ultimately decided on the Pilot one that I was telling about.
So what kind of a price range are we talking about here?
Let's see.
For your pen, when I say pen snob, I mean that I go to Staples and I buy, like, the nice of the, you know, quote-unquote off-the-shelf pen. I'm not, like, you know, like, crazy here.
All right, well, like, let's see. For the one that I bought, the Hi-Tech C, the barrel itself cost me $2.50. And $2.50.
Oh, okay. You really got to clarify that.
Jesus Christ, $250 for a fucking pen. No way.
Well, I don't know, Cheska. Like, when you say that, I don't know what you're talking about here.
All right, let's see how much the inserts were. Hold on. The tip size, I got 0.5, and I'm trying to find the inserts, but they probably cost me the same amount, where you could interchange them. They come in, like, I think several different colors. They range from, like, pink, red, blue, black, brown, orange, green. Like, it's pretty nice. So, yeah, they're gel ink pens. Oh, I'm really trying to find this because I really want to share this with you. It's, like, the coolest. I don't even care.
I'll show you the pen that I use. I'll show you my pen.
Yeah, the ink refills are, like, $2.20. And
this is my pen here.
You buy three of them. Let's see. Which one is this? That's a nice pen.
It's a pretty pimp-ass pen, I'm not going to lie.
It's a pimp-ass pen.
It's a pretty pimp-ass pen. I've actually gotten compliments about that pen.
The
I like it.
You like the ballpoint, you know, pens?
I do. I'm right-handed, so I don't have to worry about it. Like, I'm a normal person.
You're normal.
I'm a normal person. I don't have to worry about that smear. If you've ever seen my handwriting, though, like, if you've seen my handwriting
I've
before,
seen your
like,
handwriting.
It is awful.
It is awful.
I have really bad handwriting, and I've always had really bad handwriting to the point that like one time I wrote on the board and like, and the students said, they said, which one of us wrote that? And I'm like,
holy crap.
And so my like third grade students were like, oh yeah, like Mr. Ben, your writing looks like ours.
That's terrible.
And they were making fun of me for it too. They weren't being nice about it. They weren't being like, "Ah, oh, that's great." They were like, "You're right, like a kid. You suck."
See, like if I were a teacher, like I'd have to feel like my handwriting had to be on point and like better than the students.
But yeah. No, you do, and I actually have bought a chalkboard, and I practice it because I do that because I'm like, oh, I do not want the situation where the kids make fun of me again. I can't handle that.
Oh my god!
Because they're merciless when they find something about you that they are like, oh my god, we have weakness.
Oh my god, that's great. I don't even care. That's hilarious. Here, let me show you the barrel that I bought for mine. It's like a mint green with like white polka dots. It's very girly, but it matches my Filofax, so that made it even better.
So you don't do this for anybody but you, obviously. Like this is just a thing you do for you, because nobody is like looking at, like, why would anybody be looking at your own like agenda?
Well, the funny thing is, like, I was surprised to find that there's a very big Filofax community where people like share inserts that they make, and I've made some inserts that I posted up on Etsy myself, but they like either post inserts or they'll post like decoration tips or like how they decorated their pages. And a lot of people will post, like, do a weekly post where they show like how they decorated their page and like what materials they used and what pens they use. And like I have like a whole different set of like pens that I'll use while I'm planning on Sunday night or Friday night for the next week. I'll make it a weekly thing where I'll sit down with like my whole schedule. And I'll be like, okay, like X, Y, and Z needs to happen on these days, and I need to write everything down just so it keeps me on task.
Yeah, see, I use an iCal for that.
I tried that. Wait, hold on 1 minute. I'm getting a phone call. Sorry. But yeah, like,
but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, go on.
No, it's just so funny to me, like, because I'm into this. I'm trying to think of that thing that I'm into that like people would be like, what? Like, I'm really into like that thing where I listen to. I guess they get that way with video games. Like, I'm obviously that way with Game of Thrones.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think four different podcasts about Game of Thrones,
mm-hmm.
and like A Song of Ice and Fire. I've read all the books. I spent some of my lunch hour pretty much every day just on the wiki of Ice and Fire, just looking at different stuff. And I do that, and I'm geeky to the point that it's like, holy fuck, as evidenced by the fact that I did an entire show about it.
Mm-hmm.
it's just such a funny thing to imagine just being that way with pens, though.
I don't know. I thought it was like kind of funny, but like, I was really surprised to find someone else who loved this stuff as much as I do. Same thing with the Filofax. Like, I've always had a day runner, like a day planner, like this, but nothing that was like a really nice Filofax patent leather something or other. And I figured, you know, since I graduated college, like it'll be like my graduation present for the adult world kind of thing. And it's honestly like it takes away so much stress of my everyday because I can see everything like when it's planned out. If something comes up, I could just put it right in. It just, you know, like with my iCalendar, it was so unreliable. Even when I put things into it and like set up, you know, updates for it, it wasn't as reliable as me just writing something down for me to see. Like, I loved having agendas when I was in school. Like, it keeps me more on task than anything else.
Yeah. Do you want to know my strategy for remembering things?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love this. So, when I need to remember something, I write it on the back of my hand. And then, if I really need to remember it, I write it all over the side of my arm. But yeah, so that's what I do. If I really, you'll know that I really have to remember something if you just look down at my arm and it looks like I'm Guy Pearce from Memento.
Oh my god!
Just all over the back. Like I always do it on my forearm too, so it's like really scrawled across there.
Oh, I used to do that when I was a kid, and that's when my mom got me a planner.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
You got tattoos though, so I think you'd have to negotiate around them. I don't have any tattoos, so to me, it's just like I got nothing but real estate.
No, not when I was a kid though. Like when I was like in middle school, like I would write all over myself. And she just got so sick of it that she got me a planner.
I just love to imagine that. Like, how crazy are we talking here?
Like, I would come home from school and there would be, like, something, like, on the back of my hands, like, every day or, like, up to my wrists of just shit that I, you know, needed to remember, like, things I needed to do. And she's like, this isn't going to fly.
Yeah. I actually got in a bit of trouble with that because I wrote all over. I do this at comedy shows a lot where, like, I'll write my set list. And then I'll have like, oh, there'll be something that happens in like a show. And I'm like, I want to remember that because I want to call it. I want to make it make a reference to it on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll just start writing stuff on the back of my hand. And then once I start that, my hand is just covered.
Oh my god!
And I fell asleep one night. I came home from a show and just crashed. And like, I woke up the next day and my pillow was blue.
Oh god!
And my like, I have white pillows. And I'm like, oh no! And it was funny because you could tell where my hand had rested because you could see a very faint couple letters.
Oh god!
It was like HE that apparently my hand had just been pressed against it the whole time. So yeah.
Oh my god! I can't.
Did you see that Robin Thicke thing?
Oh, the one where, like, he did the Ask Thicke, and everyone, yeah, like, bombarded him with, like, really sexist shit because he is a sexist bastard.
It didn't turn out as well as he'd hoped. I was just looking at that. We took a little break because Jessica had got a call, and I was just reading through it. It's funny because we were talking about it. I just feel so bad whenever this happens to anybody.
I don't.
I know you don't. This is what I wanted to talk about it because I think it's interesting. Like, because, and obviously, like, what he... I don't understand where the hatred for him has come from, to be honest. Like, I don't get where, like, I get it where some people, like, with him, it seems kind of strange. I don't know. Can you explain it a little bit?
His songs basically perpetuate rape culture. That's it.
Songs? Because I only know one.
Well, the Blurred Line song, but, like, he, like, you know, especially, like, when he was dancing with Miley Cyrus, like, of course he's adding to this whole, like, women as objects kind of deal. So, you know, like, no means yes, and that was, like, what they're alluding to in a lot of their asks, and... You know, it's just like it. I'm not a big fan of him because of that kind of stuff. Like, I think rape culture, like, it needs to be understood.
Yeah, I just thought it was. I don't know, because to me, whenever I see anything where it's like, because you know, if he's going to do this and he's going to, like, oh, get on this thing and do a Q&A, he doesn't think this is going to happen. Like,
no, of course he doesn't, because he thinks he's probably God's gift to music.
I don't even think that. I feel like he just probably thought, oh, I'm going to do this interview, and then just gets dogpiled on. Like, these tweets are vicious, though.
I think maybe because, like, maybe he thought that it had died down enough where people wouldn't remember, which is, like, of course they're going to remember. He's like, maybe I'm safe. Maybe I'm safe to do a Q&A. Maybe I could do an AMA on Reddit.
Yeah. Let's see what my... It was one. It was... Can I punch you in the face? No means yes, right? You know you want it. Which is pretty funny.
That's a good one. Robin Thicke is getting terrible abuse on the Ask Thicke hashtag. Maybe if he dressed less provocative and stayed sober, this wouldn't happen.
And then, what's this one here?
This one's good. If a woman says no, but you know that she wants it, how many years in prison would you serve for statutory rape?
I don't get where this is. I don't remember him being like a thing where, like, I feel like this is all coming out of nowhere to me. And I don't know, maybe it's just because I wasn't aware of it. But, like, I get it when people are upset with people. But for him, I'm just like, I don't get this one at all.
Oh, it's a blatant, like, misogynistic song.
Of course. But, I mean, there's so many blatantly misogynistic
songs. I know,
songs,
but this is, like... Yes means, you know, no means yes, and, like, maybe just means, like, oh, think about it, still means yes.
Have you ever heard the lyrics to P.I.M.P. by 50 Cent?
Yes, I have, but, like, I don't know why, like, all of a sudden everybody's up in arms just about this song in particular, but...
That's what I'm saying. I don't get it at all.
Because it's such a strong connection to, like, this whole, like, you know, male agenda of, oh, like, oh, I have to spread my wild oats, and, like, women are here for my pleasure only. That's exactly what the song is talking about.
But it's such a jaunty tune. That's the weirdest
part
about it.
It's such a jaunty tune.
It's such a jaunty tune, and just to hear this amount of, like, vitriol spewed against it. Like...
I'm just going
to,
like, play that at your funeral whenever that happens.
Go ahead.
Just play Robin Thicke, Blurred Lines.
I mean, because there's the whole thing with his divorce, too, which is, like, kind of freaky. That just, I don't know, maybe that's why I feel bad for him. He just seems kind of
He was married.
Crazy. You didn't know about this?
No, I didn't. I'm not big into Robin Thicke.
He's getting a divorce.
Why?
Oh, you don't know the story?
Nope.
Apparently, like, him and his... have you ever heard of Paula Patton?
No.
Have you ever seen... I think she was in Mission Impossible 4.
Okay.
I think that was her... Did you see Mission Impossible 4?
Nope. But go on.
So she... Yeah, so his wife and him have been together for, like, forever. And I guess, like, there was all this stuff came out when he released the song of, like, him with his ass on, or hand on different girls' asses and stuff like that. And so she's basically, they're divorcing, and he's taking it well.
Wow.
And by well, I mean terribly.
Oh, my God.
Like, he sounds like a crazy stalker, crazy person. Oh, He's releasing a new album called Paula.
Wow, that's fucking weird.
I can't believe you haven't heard about
this. No, I don't keep up on Robin Thicke.
I don't either, but somehow I know about this. Like,
I don't know how you know about this more than I do, but apparently you do.
I just plugged into the internet and I just hear about it. Yeah, it's kind of nutty. Like, I'm trying to I'll see if I can find the I'll see if I can find the name of the album. The album's called Paula. I think the first song is called Get You Back.
Oh God, please. Is it like Get Taken, You as in the letter U, back?
Which could be taken multiple ways. It's just like okay, let's see. Robin Thicke, Paula. The first song is called. Is it Paula Hitler? Who the hell is Paula Hitler? We're coming back to this Paula Hitler thing in a minute. All right. Paula. No, that's Paul. I don't want that. God damn you, internets. Why are you living me down? anyway, I can't find it. Yeah. Okay, so Paula Hitler. Paula Hitler is the younger sister of Adolf Hitler and the last child of Alois Hitler Sr. and his third wife, Clara Pez. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Paula was the only full sibling of Adolf Hitler to survive into adulthood. Interesting. Pre-war life. I'm just reading this thing on Paula Hitler now. Oh, I guess she wasn't all that involved in the Hitler thing. You don't know. She could have been into it.
I love how he went from like Robin Thicke's wife to basically a descendant of Hitler.
No, it's in it. It's his sister. It's his. I just saw Paula Hitler, and I've never heard any name. Name one other Hitler you've ever heard of in your entire life. It's always Adolf.
It's always Adolf.
But yeah, I don't know. What's like celebrity stuff do you keep up with?
Honestly, like not too much now that MCR is broken up. But they're doing their own side projects, like their own individual projects. So I've kind of been keeping up on that. Kind of, not really, not a lot. Only sometimes when they post on Facebook. I'm trying to think like what else who else I really like am invested in. Like I'm not really into like the tabloids or like I follow a lot of like really famous people. Like I follow
I'm not into it. Like you know, I have the exact same amount of like intuitness as everybody else, which is that when I'm at the grocery store and I'm standing there waiting to check out, I will look at the front of the magazine.
Oh yeah, no, I'm the same way. I'm exactly the same way where like only when I'm in the grocery store and the tabloids are there, I'll look at them.
It's always great comparing them to one another, too, because it's just like, I always love that when they all have the same story, but they're all taking different angles on it.
Exactly.
Like, Jennifer Aniston is probably, I can't think, I don't even know what she's up to these days.
Jennifer Aniston, I'll have this baby alone.
Is that the new thing?
Yeah.
I didn't even know she was pregnant.
I didn't either, but apparently she is, so.
I just love it when you get these snippets of things, like Jessica, not Jessica Alba.
Jessica Biel.
Jessica Simpson appeared again from the ether.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, she lost a ton of weight, and now she's having a baby, and she's married, and she's like, oh, I'm so happy.
That's always funny with these people. It's like, oh, man, what happened to these people? It's like, oh, well, they went off and were happy.
That's it.
And you didn't hear about them because they're happy and well-adjusted.
Yeah, or like now it's like, oh, really find out what happened to JFK Jr., like that kind of stuff. Like they're really like pulling for headlines.
Well, I mean, we all know what really happened to JFK Jr. That one, there was very little ambiguity about what happened to JFK Jr.
No, but apparently they felt the need to, like, reopen it. It's like when JonBenet Ramsey was killed. Like, you know, years later, they're like, find out what really happened to JonBenet.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's funny that we just become obsessed with this stuff.
Yeah, like, what is it? I saw one that recently had stuff about the O.J. Simpson trial, and that was, like, a decade ago.
That was over a decade.
More than a decade.
That was a long time ago. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was more than 20 years ago, actually. Let's see when the O.J. trial was. That was a long-ass time ago. O.J. Simpson murder case. 1995. So it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's almost two decades. Holy shit.
Jesus Christ. Verdict was rendered October 3rd, 1995. Holy shit.
Mm-mm.
The jury got imagine this. The jury got sworn in on November 2nd, 1994.
Yeah, it was a long-ass fucking trial because of all the evidence that was tampered with.
The verdict was rendered on October 3rd, 1995, mm-hmm. almost a year later. And I don't know if you ever know, I don't know if you guys know anything about juries, but juries are required to be sequestered for the entire duration of the trial.
For some, well, for a trial as big as that, yeah, they have to be sequestered. So like,
they're not, which means they're also not allowed to watch television.
Yep.
They're not allowed to read newspapers.
Nope.
They're barely allowed to talk to their family.
It really sucks.
For a year.
Well, I'm sure they had breaks and everything.
I mean, they're better people than I am, because if I had been in that for a year, I'd be like, he did it. Fuck him.
Fuck him. I just want to go home.
I want to go home. Like, I still haven't seen X-Men Days of Future Past yet.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I haven't, and I'm actually pretty upset about that.
I could care less.
Yeah. Have you ever been called in for jury duty?
I have, but I always get out.
What do you do to get out of it? Why would you get out of it?
I get out because, like, when they're doing the questioning, it's like, well, you know, why, you know, are you fit to serve on this trial? Like, when they get to the question, has anybody in your family ever committed a crime? I raise my hand. Okay, so, you know, when they ask, like, who, I say my father, which is true.
Okay.
They ask what, like, what, you know, what crime he's committed. And I say that
he killed a man who asked him if he'd ever committed a crime.
No,
and he told me to do the same.
He's stolen over $1.5 million in credit card fraud, and not only once.
Okay, that's something I didn't know.
Three times he's done this, and he's currently serving in California for I think another 3 years, because he got out once, he did it again, he went back in, he got out, and then he was clean for a few years, and then he decided that he was under the radar, he could do it again. He got caught, of course. So he's in white-collar prison.
I do love the arrogance of criminals. They're just like, you know, I did get caught twice, but
like, honestly, like, third time. You have to be fucking smart to pull this shit off, but you gotta be really fucking stupid to get caught.
That's always one of those weird things with criminals. Like, there are certain levels, like, where you get to that, where it's like, I'm smart enough to get away with it, but I'm stupid enough to keep doing it.
That's the thing. Like, he was stupid enough to keep doing this. Not only that, but he got my half-brother involved in this. And, like, not into that but specifically, but into this whole racket of, like, conning people out of fucking money. And this is what he does now. And it's like, I can't – I have no respect for people like that at all.
So you have, like – do you have, like, any contact with him or, like
– I refuse to have contact with my father. He contacted me when I was 21. He tried to have a relationship. He tried to buy a lot of my love. He bought me a flat screen TV. My Xbox came from him. One of my ball joint dolls came from him.
Realistically, your Xbox came from like somebody in Nebraska.
Realistically, he gave me the money to go buy it.
Yeah.
But like he tried to basically like buy my affection. Like he offered me like $500 a week, basically as a quote unquote allowance to make up for lost time. And he's like, I'll you know, I'll fly you and your boyfriend down to Florida. You could stay with us and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, instead of you doing this, because I'm not quite comfortable with visiting yet, but like instead of taking that money and just spending it on plane tickets, can you put it towards my college tuition? Oh, no, that's not in the books. I have to check. I'd have to check with my wife. So it was like,
what?
Yeah, as soon as it was like money that needed to be spent like for something important and not something frivolous, it wasn't in the checkbook. I can't do that.
So like what kind of, okay, I don't know if you want to, how many details you want to get. I'm fascinated. I never knew this.
You never knew this part of me?
You've never told me this.
It's not something I generally talk about because I don't know, like not everybody asks about it. Like it doesn't normally come up in conversation.
It really doesn't. Apparently, 3 years we've been doing this show, and it's never come up once.
Yeah, no, like it's weird because like I've known this about him since I was really little. I knew that my parents were divorced since I was a baby. I knew that my father was in jail. And I think on my 15th birthday, my mother gave me a birthday card saying that he had been sentenced to 15 more years in prison.
Was your birthday card?
Yeah, that was one of my birthday cards.
And wait, did it say happy birthday, no daddy?
No, it's like happy birthday. By the way, your father just got sentenced to another 15 years in prison. Because like what had happened when my parents divorced, my dad got a little crazy and he kidnapped me for a few days. And my mother couldn't find me. And she ultimately found out that he had taken me and refused to give me back. And it was like she had like, you know, him on like, you know, do not pick up lists for like for my school. Like so like he couldn't come and just pick me up and get me. Like I was only allowed to be taken out by like my mother, my grandmother, my great grandmother, because they were afraid it was going to happen again. So that's why up until I was 21, I had absolutely no contact with him. So that's when my mom's like, you're adult enough to, you know, figure things out on your own. I'm not going to say anything. You can make your own assessment. The guy's an asshole. The guy's a douche.
I was going to say, I mean, he sounds like kind of a prick. Let's just be honest, too.
He's a complete prick. And for someone who can spend fucking thousands of dollars on a new BMW for their 16-year-old daughter, but yet their 21-year-old daughter just had a major car accident where she totaled her car and you can't give her any money for like a new one, that bothers me a little. Like, it bothers me that I'm the first child that you had that you just completely fucking abandoned, and now you're trying to get in good with me. No, it ain't going
to
happen.
That's fucked up. That's a stupid thing to do. I hate it when people do that. I mean, I get the impulse. It's just like, you know, the impulse is just like, oh, hey, I want to spend time. I feel like I fucked up. But there's always like, I want to get back together and I want to do this, but it's always got to be on your terms.
Exactly.
It's like,
there's a motive behind it. And it was like, honestly, like, I made my own judgment. I'm like, you know, I don't want to have any contact with him anymore. And I told him, like, you know, as much as I appreciate all that you've done for me for the past like few months, I just feel that lately you're getting a little aggressive in terms of trying to like win me over and trying to like really get me to love you. Like, I wouldn't even call him dad. Like, I called him Frank because he's my dad. Like, he fathered me, but he's not the one.
Your half of your genetic material came from this man.
He didn't raise me, though. That's the thing. He wasn't.
He tried to, it sounds like. But
yeah, he tried to for all of like 3 months.
There's laws against that.
But yeah, that's basically it. That's the whole other part of me that you've never known.
I've never got it. I've never known this at all. I love that it came up in an innocuous conversation about the O.J. Simpson trial.
O.J. Simpson trial led to jury duty, led to finding out that Jessica's father is an asshole and a deadbeat.
Is he still in jail right now?
He's currently in jail. He's in California at a white collar prison. My half brother, technically. He'll go to visit him, and he's like so adamant about like him getting out and like finally having time, and like he.
Oh no, he's one of those. He drank the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, basically. Well, because he was raised by this man, and like he'll talk to me sometimes on Facebook, like, "Hey, how you doing?" Like, and he's like, "Oh, well, Dad's doing okay," and blah blah blah. I'm like, "Yeah, whatever. I really don't give a shit." And like he really builds him up to be this great man, and I'm like, I don't see it. Like, I see a whole other side of this man that you don't, and he's a complete con artist, and I wish you would open your eyes, because...
Yeah, that's not that uncommon, actually. It's pretty common. Like, the sociopaths, they tend to be very charismatic and very attractive. Like, it's the kind of thing. Like, there's something about that person... It's weird about that our species, that there's something about that personality type that attracts people.
Like, it was really strange. Like, the first time I had met him, it was actually when I was dating Colin, actually. Colin came with me because I didn't want to meet him by myself, and my aunt, his sister, who I was actually very close to, she set it up. So we went out for dinner, and the whole dinner, like, he's like showing off like his new phone, like the new smartphone that he got, and how much of a technophile he is, and like how he likes to have all these new gadgets, and oh, look at this polo shirt and this like so many $1,000 Rolex that I have on my arm. Like, oh, it's so great to have all these things. And like, you're talking to a kid who like had to make do with whatever she got. Because you walked out on her and her mom. So it's like, this is like a big slap in the face for you to do stuff like this.
Oh, he sounds like a piece of shit.
He is a piece of shit. And honestly, like, I could give a goddamn if he lives or dies. Like, honestly, like, I wish he would have stayed in prison for a lot longer because I obviously didn't learn his lesson.
I do love that, yeah. It's just, but the third time. Like,
third really? Time's a charm.
Really?
Really.
I always wanted to be the same judge. Just always
it's
wanted.
It's like, you again?
Seriously? Like, you've got to be kidding me, right? Like,
oh my god, it was just I couldn't fucking believe it.
Like, that's just so crazy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything. Like, I have no life experience that I can compare that to.
It's weird, right? Like, I knew you never knew anything about it, but it's like, I don't know. I just figured, like, yeah, it's not that interesting, I guess. He doesn't need to hear
it. Are you fucking kidding me? It's not that interesting.
Oh my god.
So you watch the movie like Wolf of Wall Street and you're like, piece of shit. I recognize this right away.
He is.
I've heard that. It's funny because like I remember when that movie came out, The Wolf of Wall Street, and like everybody was going on about this and like everyone was going on about how great it was. And I remember I read a really interesting article. It was by the daughter of the guy, of Jordan Belfort, and she was basically just like, he's a fucking manipulative asshole.
He is.
And you're making him look like a goddamn G. Like, you're making him look like, and that's what she was talking about, how dangerous it is, just like, just how dangerous, like, it is to, like, make these people look like they're kind of cool in any way, shape, or form. And she's like, this guy terrorized me. Like, Like, this guy made my life a living hell.
Exactly. And it's like, it's so strange to see, like, you know, how built up they can get. And then it's like, you have no idea. Like, you don't know this side of him.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's utterly fast. So, like, you have, like, really, like, had, how many times have you met him in your life? Like,
I had met him a total of 2 times. And I met up with
his... They both sound like they went great.
Oh, yeah, they went fantastic. And I met up with his wife 2 times. One time she invited me down. She was in the city, and she's like, oh, come have lunch with me and your half-sister. Like, we'll make a day out of it. I'm like, yeah, why not? Like, it could be fun. Because, like, things were still kind of new in the relationship. But you go into, like, the Carlton Ritz, basically, to meet them at, like, on 55 and 5th.
But they're spending money like it's going out of style.
Exactly. Like, you know, they're taking you to the best restaurant in Little Italy. Like, we went shopping in Soho, and they're like, oh, why aren't you buying anything? Blah, blah. I'm like, well, one, it's really out of my price range. Two, like, you know, I can't spend the money. Like, I saw a shirt that I liked. I tried it on. She's like, oh, it looks great on you. She's like, I'll buy it. The shirt, it was like a t-shirt. It was $100. I still have that shirt, and I rarely wear it.
Yeah. I always find that too, and I'm not cheap, and I've obviously grown up, and like my life has been like Mayberry compared to that. Like I've been very fortunate in my life. My parents are really great. My whole family's really great. So obviously I don't have anything to compare it to. But I get that where you're like looking at it. I always get really uncomfortable when people are spending a lot of money.
I do too, and like this is a woman who can drop $300 on a pair of shoes.
See, that to me is fucking weird.
It
even
is
if
weird.
I had the money, like if I had all that money, I feel like if I had like ridiculous amounts of money, I would just wear the same clothes that I wear right now. I would still buy $7 t-shirts at H&M.
Oh, I would too. I would buy like the cheap fucking underwear when it's on sale from Victoria's Secret. I'd go to Target and I'd buy my clothes and my shoes. But like, it was so foreign to me to see someone drop such a large amount of money and to not even think about it. It was like, are you serious? Like, how can you possibly do that with no ramifications to like how it might affect your bank account? Because like I was always taught, you had to like, you know, you gotta, you know, be very mindful about what you're spending. Like, these people live in Boca Raton, Florida. Like, it's a very wealthy area. And I can't wrap my mind around it because they live in this huge house that, you know, they have like all these rooms and bathrooms and shit. They have a swimming pool out back in ground. And it's like, you're showing all this shit off, and I'm just astonished because I'm, you know, I was living in a 2-family house in a small apartment with my mother and my great grandmother, you know, owned by, like, the house is owned by her. And I, you know, I had an above ground pool. I didn't have a lot growing up because, like, you know, we didn't have the money for it. So it's just like, for you to be flashing your wealth, it bothers me.
I've never understood why, like, maybe it's just my personality type. I've never understood why people find that charming. Like, I never understood what the point, like, who is the person who gets like, oh, look how crazy rich we are. Just like, isn't it crazy? Like, you're bragging. I'm like, who is actually into this?
Who's
like,
impressed by that? That's what I want to know. Like, are you trying to show off to me? Are you trying to impress me? Because it's not working.
I always get really uncomfortable with people with money. Like, not uncomfortable in the sense that, like, I'm like, oh, I don't like rich people. I don't mind rich people if they're not pricks.
Yeah.
But, like, whenever people are, like, throwing money around, my parents, they throw money around. Like, and they're not rich by any stretch of the imagination. But when they go out and they buy, like, a nice dinner and stuff, and they're like, oh, we look at the menu and it's like, there's a 2 in front of anything. I'm like,
oh. Oh, yeah, no, I'm the same way. If I go out to eat with somebody, I usually stick from, like, the $9.99 to, like, at most $17 range.
Here's a tip, pro tip for you. This is a little life tip that I came up with. I think this is pretty genius.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to order first and order something that is equal or lesser value to what they order.
Exactly. No,
always
that's
get
my
them
general
to order
rule.
First. Always do it first. If they order a $17 item, 17 or under.
Exactly. Like, usually we'll go around the table, oh, like, so what are you thinking about getting? Like, what looks really good to you? And that's how I'll gauge like what I'm allowed to basically order.
Mm-hmm. I know it's funny, but like I've always been – I went to like a U of T when I was at U of T. There would be these kids who came over from like overseas, and they would be there from these parents, like, you know, especially in the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
They'd be sending these kids over to like, to go to school in Canada, and their parents, like, their families would be loaded.
Oh,
like,
my God.
You've never imagined this amount of money in your entire life.
That's crazy.
And so you'd see all these kids walking around, these my age, and they're driving like Bentleys and stuff like that and BMWs. And you're just like, like, they're driving cars that are nicer than my dad's car. And my dad's got a nice car. And you're just like,
yeah.
And then And it's just so weird. And they you'd see a lot of that where they'd be throwing money around, like trying to impress you. Just like, yeah, look how much money I have. Look at all this money I've got. And I remember just thinking to myself, I don't fucking like this.
I don't like it and I don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah.
It never sat well with me. And then seeing it firsthand from someone who I am unfortunately related to, it's disgusting. And yeah. It makes me want to be a better person so I'm not associated with how they act.
So, like, I'm curious more about the wife than I am about him, to be honest. Like, I understand him. The thing that fascinates me more than anything is the people who are with these people.
I can't. He left my mother for this woman that he met in a club. He was also an alcoholic. He racked up property damage driving home drunk one night. So my mother, like, you know, she called the cops on him about that. You know, I don't know if he was abusive or not. I don't really ask a lot of questions because I know it's not something my mother likes to talk about. So, like, I only ask things when they come up or, like, if I'm curious. And none of it's good. None of it's really good. Like, he never paid alimony. He never paid child support. He owes us 18 years of back owed child support and 20 years.
Which you're never going to say.
Exactly. And 20 years of some odd for back owed alimony, which my mom has never seen. And her,
which,
like,
is so funny. That's the other thing, too, is that you see people throw money around.
Yeah.
Like it's going out of style. But when it actually comes to paying for stuff, it's like, oh, hey, you owe this money. And they're like,
No, I don't.
No, I'm never going to pay that. I'm not going to pay it.
And it's like, it's disgusting. I think now they're taking it out of his taxes. Like, my mom's lawyer basically got it to where, like, he's making X amount of money every year. He can pay this much out of his taxes towards his alimony and child support that he owes. So that's basically how we get the money out of him, because obviously he's not going to pay it on time. But with his wife, like, I know that he left my mother for her. They had my brother. I think he's about 2 years younger than I am. And then later they had my half-sister. But that wasn't until, like, they moved to Florida, because once he was out of jail, like, you know, he wasn't allowed back into the state of New York. So they moved to Florida. And that's where, like, they've been living. Yeah. Because,
why,
like,
when people go to Florida? Why always Florida?
Because that's where he wanted to be, in, like, one of the wealthiest places that you could possibly be in Florida, which is Boca Raton, which is, like, Malibu.
People, whenever they get kicked out of wherever they have to, wherever they started from, they always go to Florida.
I know. Well, it's like one of the obvious places, I guess. But
like, Florida's so fucked up.
It is so fucked up. But she's a strange woman too. She's one of those really materialistic people. Like, when
I was gonna say, yeah.
Like, when I first met her, she obviously wasn't dressed for the New York winter, because, like, I met them, I think, around January it was right around Christmas time, I remember, because I had just totaled my car. New Year's, I'm sorry. I totaled my car on New Year's. It was just after New Year's. And I'm trying to think. It was a sheer top, like, it was like regular cotton on top, but then when it got to the midriff, it was sheer, and she was just wearing, like, a pair of jeans. I'm like, I don't know why you're dressed that way. Like, it's at least 30-something degrees outside. Like, you're going to freeze your ass off in that. And she had, like, a big fur-lined coat, and her hair was all done up, and, like, this woman is, like, her skin looks like beaten leather, like wrinkled brown leather, because she's so fucking tan. Mm-hmm. And obviously doesn't take care of her skin, but, like, she was, like, done up, like, her best to impress. And it was really just the typical, like, she almost looked like a typical Jersey housewife.
Yeah.
So it was, it's really.
Is she aware of, like, the criminal shit? Obviously she knows.
Obviously but, like, she knows, but.
But there's certain, like, levels of awareness where, like, some people they know, but they don't know. You know what I mean? Like, they don't acknowledge it. Like, it's the kind of thing where, like, you see this a lot where, like, they'll know in the back of their head, but they'll pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah, like, that's what really kind of confuses me. It's like, how can you obviously stay with this man who's been so terrible?
Yeah. It's very fascinating. It's definitely a slice of life I'm not familiar with.
No, yeah, neither am I. It's really fucking strange, and I still can't wrap my head around it most of the time. Here, I'll show you pictures.
I hope that I somehow never. I hope I never end up that way.
Well,
I know I never will. I know, like, I know myself. Like, I'll never end up that way. But, like, you see, some people, like, they just, like, I, obviously when I become a teacher, I'm going to have more money than I have now.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered about that. Like, I've never had money. Like, my family's always been very comfortable. you know, middle, upper middle class, you know, like, you know, that kind of age, that kind of range. Like, but never like rich. But like, I've never had my own money. Like, I've never had a lot of money. I've never had throwing around money. Like,
yeah.
I've never had the kind of thing where like I can just go and buy whatever the fuck I want. I've never had that before. And I honestly don't even know what would happen to me.
See, I don't know what I would do if I even had throwing around money, like just money to do whatever. Like, I think it would baffle me. Like, I'd probably just like save it or something. I wouldn't do anything interesting with it.
Yeah. It's just such a crazy thing to just imagine like what you would do if you had money. Like, but no, I'm utterly fascinated. Like, it's just, this is just a completely different thing that I, this is when we started like, what are we going to talk about today? I don't know. It's like, this is not where I thought this was going to go.
I know. I didn't expect this either. Like, I'm not, honestly, I'm not upset by it. It doesn't bother me anymore. It used to be a very sensitive subject, but, honestly, like, it's just, it's a part of my life. It happens. It sucks that he's a part of my life, but you move on. And I sent you some pictures that you could see just how weird these people look.
They do look a little strange, yeah. they're kind of exactly what I imagined they would look like.
Yeah.
In a strange kind of way.
I know, right?
They're very Florida.
They're very Florida.
It's incredibly Florida.
They're very new people. Money Florida.
Very new money Florida. Yeah, it's just kind of that's a different slice of life. That,
it's weird, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually amazed that you were so forthright about it. Like,
really?
There was points in our conversation where I kept imagining you. I kept expecting you to go like, okay, yeah, you know, like I don't want to talk about it. But yeah. I enjoy how forthright you are about it because I think it's fascinating, and you know, like.
Well, no, I appreciate that only because, like, I guess because I've talked about it so much over the past probably like 2 years, only because like. Things come up, like, where I'll get emails from, like, my mother. Like, I think the biggest thing was 2 years ago, my grandmother, my father's mother, died recently, you know, like, two Junes ago. And, like, I went to her funeral only for my aunt because my aunt and I are very close. And
it's got to be weird, right?
Like, it was very weird because I met all of my uncles for the first time. I actually met my brother for the first time there. Which was strange. I met all of my cousins, like my first cousins there, that were all around my age. So it was like I was introduced to a whole side of the family that I had never known. Mm. And it was really, really weird.
And they're all like a little bit nuts.
They are. And it was like, but the thing is, like, they're all about money. They're all the same way.
Ah, so it's like a genetic thing?
Yeah, but they're also Jewish.
Oh, they're Jewish. What does it mean anything?
But like, I'm talking like the stereotypical kind of Jew.
Yeah. That doesn't mean anything though. I mean, the Jew thing doesn't really like factor in, but there's definitely like, there's cheapskates and like materialistic people in every culture.
Yeah, no, but this is like, they're very, very materialistic when it comes to certain stuff and it's really disturbing.
It is a little bit.
Yep.
It must be nice though. It must be nice. Like,
it must be nice to be able to spend money.
No, it must be nice just to be able to be so easily pleased.
Like, oh, yes, you just buy my happiness. Oh, money. Oh, cow's money.
Honestly, like I sit there and like when people – I'll tell you this. People buy me stuff, I get very uncomfortable. I don't like it when people buy me stuff. Like, especially the more expensive it is, the more uncomfortable I get.
Yeah,
more,
no, like, I'm the same way. It's like, oh, you didn't have to do this. Like, let me at least give you half for it. No, it's a gift. I really wanted to get this for you, but you don't understand. Like, I can't. Yeah. I can't.
Like, even, like, when I'm done a show, I'll, like, not, it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens enough that it's, like, a thing where, like, I'll get done a show, and then an audience member's like, hey, you made me laugh. I want to buy you a drink. And I'm like,
whoa.
Okay. Like, you know, like, and that happened last night, and the guy was like, and that's why I said, like, you know what, man? He's like, oh, man, you know, like, oh, you made me laugh. Here, like, here, let me buy you a drink. And I'm like, I'm good, dude. I got to drive. He's like, here, take the money. And I'm like.
No, I can't.
Keep your money, man. Like, I don't want your money. Like, your laughter, the fact that you came up to me and said, hey, man, you really made me laugh, that's more than any money you could give me. I mean, let's not go crazy here. Like,
let's not go crazy.
Give me $1,000, that'd be pretty great. But you know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that you just come up to me and go, hey, man, I really enjoyed your set. Like, you made me laugh. The fact that you're even willing to buy me a drink, that's enough. I don't even need the drink. Like, that made me happier than anything.
Like, it's just like, I don't know. Like, I get the same way, too. Like, if people buy me, like, especially, like, very expensive items, I get a little weird.
Oh, I get really weird.
And I feel like I owe them or something.
Yeah, but not even I owe them. I just feel like I don't deserve this. This is fucking weird.
Mm.
I'm very independent that way. Like, I like to buy my own shit.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Like, even, like, I feel weird about, like, borrowing money or, like, asking for money, especially, like, from my grandmother or my mother.
I never borrow money or ask for money from anybody.
Like, I refuse to borrow money now from people, but it's, like, my grandmother would be like, well, do you need money for, like, gas or anything? I'm like, no, it's all right. Well, she's like, well, how much do you have in your account? Like, here's $100. Just use it for gas. And I'm like, it's still, like, it bothers me because I just want to be independent. I want to do things on my own, and I don't want to feel like I'm mooching.
Yeah. No, the mooching thing is definitely a concern.
No.
But honestly, I'm still kind of reeling from everything, to be honest. Like, because, like, you got to imagine, you came into this knowing, like, I'm coming into this like, what?
You were, like, blindsided.
Like, you, the listeners at home are getting exactly the same amount of information about this as I am.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not a bad thing at all. It's okay. Very interesting, and it was a very candid and interesting conversation. I'm still, you gotta just understand that I'm just kind of dealing with it right now.
Well, I'm glad that you were interested enough to listen to it.
I have so many questions, but I feel like we gotta get out of here because we're already over our hour. And it's kind of making me angry.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, that is, that's definitely an interesting fact I never knew about you.
Now you know.
And now I know that side of your family. It's funny. It's so funny that, like, yeah, because I know obviously that your mom and your dad have never, but you've never mentioned your dad once. And, like, it's funny that it never came up. Like, it never even, like, I never concerned me. I never thought, like, oh, I wonder what happened to her dad. You know, just like.
We could have asked.
I know, but it never occurred to me. Like, that's not the kind of thing that would ever occur to me. Like, because that really seems like a weird question to ask somebody.
I'm so used to it. It's like, oh, like, well, people, you know, when they talk to me, I'll be like, oh, my mom, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, like, you know, well, how's your dad? I'm like, oh, I don't really know. Like, you know, they've been divorced since I was a kid. We don't keep in contact. And usually the conversation ends there.
Yeah. For me, it would be like, you're like, oh, yeah, well, like, you know, talking about your mom. Let's say you live with your mom or whatever, or you lived with your mom. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, what was your dad? Is your dad around? Just like, no, that would be it. I wouldn't bring up anything else. That would be the end of the I would, because it's a really sensitive topic for some people. They don't mm-hmm. want to fucking talk about it.
Why not?
Your story is more interesting than most.
It's unique.
It's definitely unique. It's definitely that. Yeah. I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of Brain Gasm Podcast.
I think so too.
We didn't get any throwbacks this week, but I feel like we moved forward quite a bit in our relationship.
We did.
We've learned. I wish I had not even a secret. I wish I had something like that to tell.
That was something huge.
I don't got shit to tell.
It's like, oh yeah, my dad embezzled like $1.5 million. What'd you do?
My dad falls asleep on the couch sometimes, and I have to wake him up. And this happened the other night where he was at like a light and I'm like, I thought he was dead. And I'm like snapping my fingers trying to get him up. And he's apparently a pretty heavy sleeper.
Oh my God.
So I thought that was interesting, but apparently it's not.
I love it.
That's a true story.
I
was going to talk about that tonight.
I'm sorry. Kind of stole the spotlight.
And then your thing trumped it by like 1,000,000,000%.
Holy shit.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Brain Gasm Podcast. God damn, that was a fucking tour de force.
Wasn't it?
So thank you for listening. No Gasm of Thrones for a while. Kurt and I have been talking about doing something else, you know, sporadically. I don't know if you listen to – have you been listening to Gasm of Thrones?
I have to start from the beginning.
Are you caught up? I mean, we only did it for last season for 2 episodes and then this season.
I'm only on the first season. I'm finishing up the first season like this week.
I'll let you know. Okay, so we did Gasm of Thrones for the last 2 episodes of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so the penultimate episode and the last episode
mm-hmm.
Of last year. And you'll know when you get to that episode.
Okay.
You'll know why we started when you get to that episode as well. And then all of this season. So, yeah, I expect you to listen to all of the Gasm of Thrones and report back.
Fine.
And tell me what happened.
Well, then.
Kurt and I have been talking. We talked about a lot about Metal Gear Solid on the last Gasm of Thrones we did.
Mm-hmm. I saw,
He tried to explain the entire plot of Metal Gear Solid in 5 minutes to me.
Holy shit.
It was about 20 minutes in, and he only explained about 1.5 games.
Holy fuck.
So we had the brilliant idea that he's going to get extremely high on mushrooms and try to explain the whole thing to me. And I'm going to basically just be steering him through the conversation and as he tries to teach me about Metal Gear Solid. through a thick cloud of psychedelic mushrooms.
Oh my god, I can't.
I think that sounds fantastic. I don't know about you.
It does.
It does. Yeah, so we'll be doing fun stuff like that as time goes on. Don't worry, guys. Kurt's not going away. He's still a member of the Braingasm family. My DVD's out.
I saw.
That came out, so you can buy that. We're working out the digital release right now. We sold out all of our physical copies of the first run.
Fantastic.
We sold them out night of. It was like literally we got to the end of the night and we're just like, hey, is there someone wanted to buy one? And we're like, we don't have any more. Like, we literally ran out of them. So.
Holy shit.
So that was pretty cool. All the money is going to the same thing we did last year for the CD. All the money is going to the children's unit at the St. Catherine's Hospital. So
very nice.
I will get you guys information as to how you can get the digital copy. It'll probably be $5 the same way that – maybe $7. It'll be between $5 and $7. We got to iron out the details still, but yeah, so you can get that. I'm on it. David Green's on it. Mike Duncan's on it. Jeff Stroop's on it. Levi Mann's on it. Corey Lees, newcomer to the Niagara comedy scene, but he's definitely unique, and he will be on an upcoming episode of Braingasm because I promised him, and he reminds me about it every time I see him. So I got to do that, or he's going to murder me. that's only half of a joke if I end up dead.
Oh my god, saying, stop. Don't even.
You know who did it? John Clark is on that as well. And then I think that's everybody.
Very nice.
Yeah, Graham Davidson. Graham Davidson's on it too, sorry. Yeah, so it's a good cast. Everybody did great. It's a good CD. It's a good DVD. so yeah, that's all I think I have to plug. All
right. As always, I'm Cheska, and you can follow me on Twitter at OSugar. OHSUJAR at twitter.com. You can follow me at jailhouserockabetty.tumblr.com for all your really weird photo needs for like cute animals and like really morbid shit.
And pens, apparently.
And pens! I just made you a File Effects podcast, but that probably wouldn't be that interesting.
File Effects podcast. I'm going to get in contact with those guys. You think I'm not? I'm going to get them on the show. I'm going to get them on Braingasm.
No!
Why not?
I don't know. I'm nervous. But,
why?
Because they're so professional.
I checked it out. They're both less than 4,000. I think they're one of the guys has 5,000 Twitter followers. That they're pretty easy to get in contact with.
That's still impressive.
It's a lot for us, but like that's like numbers where if you message him, he'll message back.
Oh my god! But trying to think like what else? God damn! I think that's pretty much it for me.
Okay, thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of the Braingasm Podcast. I have been Ben. She has been Cheska. Her history has been revealed. Worlds have been collided. Things have happened. Good night, everybody.
Good night.